the fact that Chuck caught most of those holds. I was missing those holds left and right. Those little dots are supposed to be a hold, and I just want to just move right on. But so glad that we do have wonderful peace. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. I mentioned this morning we were going to continue this chapter. Isaiah, chapter 40. And we are looking at the greatness of our God in this chapter. And this evening, I want to focus on verses 10 and 11. And then we'll, of course, cover the rest of the chapter, hopefully, in some way in the process of doing this. I want to preach on these verses. Look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He had just said that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And now he introduces us to the Lord as our shepherd. That's why I've entitled the message, Taking Comfort in Our Shepherd. Taking Comfort in Our Shepherd. And when you go to the Bible, one of the great pictures of the Bible is that the Lord is our shepherd. So if I were to say to you which passage in the Bible stands out, if you know your Bible, it'd be Psalm what? 23. The Lord is our shepherd. Is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Barnes, Albert Barnes, in his commentary, talks about the shepherd. And one of the great delights in traveling, he said, through a pastoral country where they're pasturing sheep, is to see and feel the force of the beautiful imagery in the scriptures borrowed from pastoral life. All day long, the shepherd attends his flock, leading them into green pastures, near fountains of water, and chooses a convenient place for them to rest at noon. At night, he drives them near his tent, and if there is danger, encloses them in the fold. They know his voice and follow him when traveling. He tenderly watches over them and carries such as are exhausted in his arms. And of course, what we see is that the Lord, in Psalm 23, when David, who was a shepherd, he was able to take that imagery and show how the Lord leads us, and he carries us, and he walks with us, and goes through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is important. The Lord is our shepherd. And this picture of the shepherd provides great security. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 gives us an incredible verse explaining the security we can know in Christ. And there's three reasons this evening I want to look at why we can take comfort in our heavenly shepherd. And it's important that we take comfort in him. First of all, I want you to see this, the character of our shepherd. The character of our shepherd. If you'll notice there, it tells us in verse 10, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And in verse 11, he, speaking of the Lord God, shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So the first character that we see of the shepherd is that he is Lord God. Now, I don't know if you watch closely. Our King James translators do a lot to help us. And for instance, you'll see that, for instance, in verse 2, it talks about the Lord's hand. Double for all our sins. Notice it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and apostrophe S. Now that speaks of Jehovah. And you'll see the same thing in verse 5. But if you notice in verse 10, when it says, "Behold the Lord," it's capital L, small o, R, and D. And that is the word Adonai, which means that the Lord or our master. Now, what's also interesting, though, is in verse 10, you'll have the Lord God, and that's capital G, capital O, and capital D. And that is a variation of the word Jehovah. So literally what we are dealing with here is Adonai Jehovah. He is our master, but he's the ever-present one. And so when we come to the rest of this passage, we see that he is the one who is our shepherd. So the character of our shepherd is that he is Lord God. He is our master. He is the one who is our ever-present one. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The second thing I want you to see regarding the character of our shepherd is not only is he the Lord, but I believe here we have every indication to believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll see, for instance, in verse 3, who did we say the voice of the one crying in the wilderness is? John the Baptist. And he says in verse 3, prepare ye the way of Jehovah. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. And he is speaking there of John the Baptist preparing the way for who? Jesus Christ. And this certainly is true. Now, obviously, God the Father is a shepherd to us. God the Holy Spirit is a shepherd to us. But particularly when we go to the Scripture, we find that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11 says, Jesus said himself, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, what's also very interesting about that is in John chapter 10, verse 12, he talks about the good shepherd, but he that is an hireling. Now, what is a hireling? A hireling is somebody who is filling in for the shepherd. And maybe he's there temporarily to watch for the sheep. But Jesus says that the hireling is not the shepherd. And he says in John chapter 10, verse 12, that when the sheep, they have a wolf coming, the hireling leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth the sheep and scatters them. And Jesus says the hireling fleeth. And you know why? Because he doesn't care about those sheep. He's only in it for the job. You know, there's a difference, right? You got people who put their energy into their work, and there's other people that dare just to make money, and they're only going to do so much. So Jesus says, "I am the shepherd." It's interesting, Hebrews chapter 13, and you can just write these references down, look them up later, says in verses 20 and 21 that the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, says that the Lord Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of our soul. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus is the chief shepherd that shall appear. And so, in other words, we find that the Lord Jesus is being spoken of here specifically in Isaiah chapter 40, and he is that one who is our shepherd. Not to say that the other persons of the Trinity are not. So that's the character of the shepherd.
Secondly, I want you to see the characteristics of the shepherd. The characteristics of the shepherd. We're told in verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand." And it's interesting because it tells us that He is strong. Now, it's interesting that we have this, and Brother Patrick, in a moment, I'm going to have that PowerPoint. And we find that He, with His strong hand, He is very great. He is very powerful. And because He is powerful and because He is great, it tells us, verse 10, He shall rule. And that speaks of authority. And our shepherd is very strong. And He rewards with Him. In other words, His work is with Him. And as Ryrie puts in his footnote, His wages are reward, a blessing to the godly and retribution to the wicked. Now, to get a better sense of this, this is why I wanted to come to this chapter particularly, because it shows us how strong our shepherd is. We're told in verse 12 that He speaks of God here, who hath measured the what? The waters in, it says, in His hand. And I have some pictures here. And I did this about 3 years ago on a Wednesday night. And I just thought this would be a better way of presenting this quickly. So here we have these waters. And of course, still it's hard to see that a little bit. You got the waters there. And of course, isn't it amazing how the earth has all the waters contained? I sometimes complain because of this nasty gravity. This nasty gravity makes it hard for me sometimes to get up and move around. But this gravity God has put to contain all the waters and the rivers of the world. And we're told in chapter 40, verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters?" And notice this, "in the hollow of His hand." And again, Ryrie says this, "The entire universe is on a miniature scale when it's compared to God, the mighty Creator." And when we stop to consider how powerful God is, that He is so strong, He is so powerful. I mean, just all the waters of the earth, you know, the Scripture tells us the heavens cannot contain God, that the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. And I used to always wonder how God was considered, you know, where is God outside in the universe? Well, the obvious answer to that, in the galaxies, He contains all of that within Himself. And there is no ending, and there is no beginning. It tells us in verse 12 that the dust, and comprehended the dust of the earth. And, you know, so here you see these pictures of sand in the deserts, in the fullness of the desert, every little speck of sand, all of that sand, it tells us that He measures it. He comprehends, He holds the dust of the earth in a measure. He weighs the mountains, and we look at all the different mountains we could look at, and we find that these mountains are mountains that are, according to Isaiah 40, verse 12, He weighs those mountains in scales. And it tells us here that He puts them in a balance. No big deal for God. We're told in verse 13 that "who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, of being His counselor, hath taught Him." You know, I got a picture of a diploma, and it's fascinating how people, they somehow put their diplomas and their knowledge up as if they're going to tell God something. And God tells us in verse 14, whom took God counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Verse 15, behold what? The nations. So we have all the nations of the earth, and they seem so powerful. And he says the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Think about that. And they're counted as small dust in the balance. Now, so here you have this balance scale, and you take a speck of dust and you put it on one end of that. That really moves the scale, doesn't it? No. What he's saying here is that the nations mean absolutely nothing to him. Look at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing. You know, so they meet in the United Nations, and they do all of these things, and they make these big decisions. Verse 17 says that they are counted to God as less than nothing. Now, you can't get any worse than that. Verse 16, he says, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. So they want to burn sacrifices in islands. I should go to the islands in verse 15. Up the islands as a very little thing. The trees of Lebanon, there's not enough wood to burn a sacrifice for God that's worthy of that. Or when we consider the animals, it tells us in verse 16, the beasts thereof, they're not sufficient for a burnt offering for God. Amazing. And then we come to verse 19. It says, the workman melts a graven what? You know, so people make their puny gods. You know, and they worship these gods. They fall down to these idols. They come and they uphold them. And they pray to them. And God says, you know, they create this stuff, use their tools, and then they bow down to worship it. And it's interesting because we're told in verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And that word circle has within it, the idea of a sphere. God knew it was a sphere. God knew the world was round. And it says that he sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent. You know, so you got all these people on planet earth. Wear their masks, as before the pandemic. But look at this. Multitudes and multitudes of people. People who need the Lord, by the way. Amen. And the scripture tells us that they're to God as just grasshoppers. You know, it's like put a human being next to a grasshopper. Just they amount to very, very little as far as their quality. He mentions in verse 23 the princes. So we look at the princes of the earth, and we see Putin, and there is Merkel, is it? And you got the Japanese guy, and you got the world leaders, and boy, they seem so important. And yet we're told in verse 23 that the princes are nothing to God. He makes the judges on the earth as vanity. And so, you know, we have the mighty Supreme Court. But God is able to take out a justice just like that, like He did with Ginsburg. And it's interesting, isn't it, that this is, it's incredible. People try to stand up to a mighty God. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by numbers. And you look into the universe and you see star upon star upon star upon star. And God, it says in verse 26, calleth them all by name. And that He is strong in power. Now to get a sense of this, very interesting thing. Back in February 14th, 1990, Voyager 1, which had been launched in 1977, it had been put on a mission to do certain things, but they decided to take one last picture of it, or by it. 3 billion miles away from our sun. And this is the farthest picture of planet Earth that we have. This is known as the pale blue dot image. And as one writer put it, when you look at this image, you'll see that what's going on here, every person who has ever lived, every individual, everything that's happened in history, everything that has gone on this planet is just a little speck. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Scriptures tell us that this is our shepherd. He is very strong. And we also know that not only is He very strong, He is very good. Because, you know, you'd hate to have somebody that powerful who is bad controlling you. But the fact is that He is not a bad shepherd. What did Jesus say in John 10 verse 11? He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Now, sheep are not a very flattering analogy for us. As a matter of fact, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Scripture tells us that our shepherd, who is very, very strong, is very, very good. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. See, if a person is not following Jesus, they're not saved. Now you mark that down. A person that has nothing to do with Jesus doesn't know Jesus. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That doesn't mean as sheep we don't go astray. But it does mean that as sheep, we are following the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, I know them. John chapter 10, verse 27. And they follow me. And what's wonderful is it says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we find that the Lord, our shepherd, He is strong and He is very good. So we've looked at the character of our shepherd. We've looked at the characteristics of our shepherd. But I want you to see, thirdly, the care of our shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It tells us regarding the care of our shepherd. Now we know that our shepherd cares for us. Because he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, cast all your care upon Him. Why? He cares for us. And dear friend, listen to me. Satan is going to say, God doesn't care. God's a hireling. No, Jesus is the one who does care. And no matter what you have gone through and what you are going through, the Bible tells us that He cares for us. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the objects of His care. Look at verse 10. verse 11. He shall feed, notice it, His flock. And so, those that are His, He cares for us. And this is why He tells us that my sheep hear my voice and I care for them. Those that are His sheep, obviously, are those who have accepted Jesus. And when I accepted Christ, I didn't even realize. I thought I just needed to just deal with this burden in my soul and just come to Christ. And I did. And boy, did I get an eye-opening awakening that God cares. And He's taking care of me. Now, I was saved at the age of 16. I'm now 64. Do the math. And I'll promise you something. He has taken care of me. Those that are His sheep, He takes care of. I want you to see, secondly, those that are weak. Now, it's interesting because in verse 11, it says, He shall gather the lambs in His arms. The word there is speaking of lambs that have recently been born. Young lambs. These are ones that are weak. These are sheep that cannot take care of themselves. And of course, applying it to people, we are weak. And one of the things that you have to recognize as a believer is that without Him, you can do nothing. Now, we quote that verse in John 15, but do we really believe that? We try to do things in our own strength. We try to improve our situation, and we should do the best we can. But we have to understand that without the help of our shepherd, we are going to fail. And the scripture here tells us that He, in verse 11, carries them in His bosom. He is the one who gathers them up. And I was thinking about this as I had preached. I was looking at a past message, and I was thinking about these dogs, that dog that you got. And I was telling Chuck and Amy this morning about how we have recently had a dog who died, and Coco was a little monster. He's a big dog. Wasn't when we got him. We thought we were getting one like our previous dog, which was a miniature collie, border collie. We called her Lady. And I was thinking about the time when I was walking down the street one time, and here's my little dog, and there's this big old dog starts attacking her, starts coming at her. And you know what I did? I reached out and picked her up. That's what our Lord, the shepherd, does. When we are under attack, when we are under problems and struggles, He picks us up. When we wander, He picks us up. When we are scattered, He picks us up. With His own arm, the strong arm that we had seen in verse 10, this powerful God is able to keep us from falling and to present Him faultless. This is a wonderful thing. He feeds. He gathers. And particularly those who are weak. When it tells us there that in verse 11, He feeds His flock, that means literally He tends to them. He guards them. He provides them. He defends them. And He ministers to them. See, that's why under shepherds, that's why God had such an interest in this picture that He created or He put within His church under shepherds, which are pastors. And the Lord, who is our shepherd, when things are, there are problems, it tells us that He feeds us. And that we're told in Acts chapter 20 to feed the flock, Paul tells the pastors of the Ephesian church. Take care of them. Provide for them. Feed them the Word of God. Let them know that there is nourishment in the Word of God. It's our milk. It's our meat. And it's interesting because He also talks about in verse 10 about His reward is with Him. Verse 11 at the end of the verse, He shall gently lead those that are young. That are with young. So in other words, we're talking about nursing lambs. Nursing sheep to little lambs. And when you have those who are not only weak, but totally helpless, He says He leads those to help them. He doesn't drive them. He leads them. And the Scripture here tells us that when we're tired, when we're sick, when we're faint, if you look at chapter 40, it's interesting after He gives all these descriptions of how great He is, that verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." Verse 29, "He giveth power to" who? The faint ones, the weak ones. "And to them that have no might. But they," verse 31, "that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." So we find here that the Lord takes care of us. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that verse in Psalm 103, verse 14. "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust." And sometimes we get very frustrated because we can't be perfect. And that's truly natural because, or I should say supernatural, because the Holy Spirit is constantly helping us to improve. But we fail so many times. But the Lord knows that we get tired, and the Lord knows that we get weak. And He cares for us. And the object of His care are those who are His sheep, who are weak. And the way He cares for them, He feeds them, He carries them, He gathers them, He leads them. Because He considers our frame. And because Jesus is the good shepherd, He calls out to all men, "Come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And ye shall, I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And when you don't know what to do, just recline in your shepherd. And we need to take comfort in that. I hesitate to use this illustration because it seems to have been such overused over the years. I haven't heard it recently, though. How many of you ever seen the poem Footprints? Okay, of course you have. I wanted to read that because it really does show us how the Lord guides us. One night I dreamed a dream as I walked along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest time, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand. Why? When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testing. And when you saw only one set of footprints, what was happening? You remember? It was then that I carried you. Now, folks, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth you beside the still waters. And the Lord is our shepherd who guides us and directs us. So we need to go to him. So I can't do it. Well, then you go to him and let him do it. So I don't know how to pray like I should. Guess what? He can help you pray like you should. So I don't know if I can stay consistent in my devotions. Guess what? He can help you through your devotions. Come unto me, Jesus said. You just come, and I'll take care of you. And that's why we need to take comfort in our shepherd. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this powerful, powerful chapter in Isaiah 40. Help us to put it in perspective in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are a God who, when we have repented of our sins and made the path straight and trusting in Christ alone, this is why you tell us to comfort ye my people. Because the Lord is our shepherd, and he is so powerful and he is so strong. Help us, God, to put you first. Now, Father, I pray for every individual here and listening on the internet. Lord, I ask that you would just somehow work in their hearts. And if there be somebody here that, or someone listening, and they honestly have come to the point that they've come to the end of themselves, help them to realize that when they are weak, they are strong because the Lord Jesus can pick them up in their weakness. Guide and direct us now, we pray. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. The pianist plays. Maybe there's a burden in your heart that you would just want to come and just pour out your soul to the Lord. You come. You come. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Tom.